Well, it's great to be here once again with you all. Thank you for coming this morning. Can you believe Easter's next Sunday? Wow, it's here. And it was later this year, and it's already here. And I just think a quarter of our year is already gone in 2025. So time flies. But it makes me think that next Sunday, especially of any other Sunday, that's right, it's Easter, and we have a tremendous opportunity to reach out. There are some Burleson Bible Church business cards. They're on a rack back here on this table. I would lovingly encourage you to take a couple of those cards and this week invite someone to church on Easter. It's pretty easy. Hand them a card and say, hey, I just, you know, if you didn't have a church, just wanted you to invite you to our church on Easter. It's really easy. I've done that at the supermarket different times, and pray and invite, because we're going to get to share the gospel like we are here this morning. But it's a great opportunity, so I just encourage you all to do that. Today is Palm Sunday, and as you probably know, it was this day some 2,000 years ago when Jesus had his triumphal entry, as we call it, right? When he rode on the colt of a donkey into Jerusalem to the praise and excitement of the hopeful Jews that were waiting. Remember, they were proclaiming Hosanna in the highest, which means save now, because they believed this was the long-awaited prophesied king who had come to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. They thought, here's the king who's going to set up his earthly kingdom, overthrow the Romans, and we will be delivered once and for all. So they were excited, waving palm branches, right, throwing them at Jesus' feet, as you would do for kingly individuals, royalty. But they were a little misunderstood, right? They didn't quite understand the reason for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. We do today, because we have hindsight. But this is also the start of the week that we call Passion Week, because it was this week, some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus entered Jerusalem. He came to fulfill prophecy and to do what he came to this planet to do, the thing that he was sent by his Father to do. And so this week, he would do all of those things, being betrayed, right? Being handed over to the chief priest, to be maligned, blasphemed, beaten, and ultimately crucified on a cross for the sins of the world, right? That all happened this week. Think about that for a moment. All that Jesus experienced and endured for you and I this week. You know, the most iconic symbol in Christianity is the cross. I think we would all agree with that. When I was a teenager, I used to take my mom's gold cross necklace and wear it at school. You know, I thought it was cool. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I don't know if she knew that I was taking her across, but I'd wear it around because I thought it was cool, right? So for me, and I was a believer at the time, I didn't think much of the significance of the meaning of the cross. I was a believer, came to Christ at around 10 years old, and as a teenager, I, you know, has ran from God at that time. Many of you know that story, but I wore that cross, and I never really thought much about the meaning of the cross. You know, it was more of a fashion accessory, like it is for a lot of people today, right? People wear crosses all the time. But do we really stop and think about what does the cross represent? Because in first century Rome, you know what the cross represented then? It represented cruelty, suffering. It was a gruesome form of execution for the Romans, right? That's what the cross represented. Humiliation, things like that. I don't think there were many at that time adorning themselves with crosses. They weren't fashion accessories back then. But today we see the cross in a lot different light, knowing what it represents for us today. It not only represents humiliation, really, suffering, a gruesome death, but it also represents love, mercy, and forgiveness. But when you think about it, you may ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? Of all the ways that God could have saved the world, why did he choose the death of his only son, Jesus Christ, as the only way for people to receive forgiveness and eternal life? Why the cross? Well, that's the story that needs to be told. And it's actually the story, that the reason we exist as a church, to tell that story of why Jesus Christ had to die on a cross. And so that's why I encourage us all to invite people to come to hear the story, especially this time of year, of why Jesus had to die and then be raised again. Would you pray with me as we begin? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity once again to be here, to gather together in the name of you, Jesus, because you're our Savior. Oh, the deep, deep love that you have for us, for me. We're here because of that. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us life and breath. And we just pray that today, from our hearts, in this moment of worship, that we would just praise you. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our time this morning, I just want to share briefly three main reasons that Jesus had to die on this Palm Sunday. There's a lot of reasons why Jesus came to die, but I'm just going to highlight three of them this morning. Number one, Jesus came to die to pay for our penalty. A couple verses. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's a problem. Romans 5:12 tells us, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Why did Jesus come and have to die? Is because, you know, there are consequences to sin, right? Grave consequences to sin. And as those verses tell us, death, the ultimate consequence, came through sin. And you know how it began back in the garden. I just want to explain why we all fall short of God's glory, because we are sinners, and why we need Jesus and why he had to come to die. Back in the Garden of Eden, right, we understand the story from Genesis where God created Adam and Eve perfectly. He created the world, this paradise. He placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it says to work the land. And he gave them one command. You remember that command? Do not eat of this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of this you can enjoy. He created it for them to enjoy. One command, don't eat of the tree. And then he said, for when the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. Dire consequences for disobeying this command. And as you know, Satan, in the form of serpent, comes to Eve and tempts her. And he says, hey, look at that, you know. And what did God say? And surely God didn't mean that. And you know, created doubt in her mind. You can't really trust what God says, and it's actually going to be good if you eat. And so what did Eve do? She succumbed to the temptation, and she took a bite, and she ate that apple. Or it wasn't an apple, necessarily. It might have been. I don't know. And then what did she do? She gave it to her husband, Adam, and he ate. And so they disobeyed God. Eve was deceived into disobeying God. Adam just flat out disobeyed God. He knew. He wasn't deceived. He just did it. And so what happened? Sin and death entered the world. This is where it all began. Sin entered the world, as Romans tells us, and death through sin. It was a disaster, wasn't it? At that moment, they did die. There are two ways that they died. They died both spiritually and physically. You know, death simply by definition means separation. When we die physically, our soul is separated from our body. But when we die spiritually, our soul is separated from the presence of God forever. And the first thing that happened when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They ran, right? They ran and hid. Their eyes were opened. And God, it says, covered them in their nakedness with animal skins. So guess what? Animals had to die. In this perfect world, animals died. Blood was shed because of sin. And so right away, you understand there are consequences to sin. But then as we know, as the story goes, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, away from His presence. No longer did they have that intimate fellowship with God where they walked with God and they talked with God and they had this closeness with God, their Creator. Now that's all broken. That's gone. And they began to die physically. They didn't drop dead, obviously, right then, but people who would have lived forever now have a time limit. Now they began the process of dying. And all the other effects of sin have now entered our world as well. Death, disease, sickness, right? Tragedies, corruption. All of this entered the world through that one man's sin. And then death spread because all sin, Romans 5:12 tells us. Why did sin enter the world that way to all of us? And why does death come? Because of sin? Because all sinned, Romans 5:12 says. Actually, the best translation of that is that all sin, which means that all will sin. But that happens because we all come from Adam and Eve, right? They were the first man and woman. I found this headline. It says, scientists reveal all the evidence Adam and Eve really did exist. Hey, guess what? Scientists are starting to figure things out. And they go on to say, archaeologists have found surprising signs that Eden was not only a real place, but could have been the birthplace of civilization as we know it. Well, duh. Likewise, biologists have shown that all humans alive today really do share a single common ancestor. Wow, what if you just read Genesis? You know, here it is, 2025, and you're just now figuring this out. But isn't that cool, though, that science is kind of catching up and saying, you know what, wow, there's some truth to this, that we all do maybe originate from one ancestor. Yeah, we do. The Bible tells us that. And so because we come from Adam and Eve, we inherited Adam's sin nature. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what Romans 5 is talking about. We inherited a sin nature, which is why, by the way, we don't have to teach our children to be bad, do we? We have to teach them to be good. Shayla and I, for several years, worked in children's ministry, in toddlers, and we loved it. It was so fun. But you know the most common word that we heard in children's ministry? Mine or no. Mine, right? Kids are thrown down over the Tonka toys, breaking up fights every Sunday. But you don't have to teach them that, do you? There's something natural within all of us. We have this bent towards evil. It's called the sin nature. You can't escape it. It's in our DNA. And it's all because of the first man and his sin. But listen, we were born with a sin nature, but at some point, all of us will willfully sin. As I said, Eve was deceived. She still sinned and was still responsible, but she was tempted and deceived into sinning. Adam willfully, just flat out, volitionally, made a choice to go against the command of God and sin. And that's why, as you read on in Romans 5, it says that we will all at some point sin in the likeness of Adam. And that's why we say we get this sin nature from Adam as the male, because he's the one that willfully sinned without being deceived. And the Bible talks about that in other places as well. So that's the point, though. At some point, we will all, as a child grows up, We have a conscience. God has placed his moral law on our hearts. Everyone at some point knows the difference between right and wrong. And we will all at some point choose to do wrong. We will sin, and we will break God's commands. You know, and as Paul was writing to the Ephesian Christians, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." He's saying, before you came to know Jesus, guess what? You were dead. You were separated from God because of your sin. All of you were. All of us were. That means that we had no life from God in us. We were spiritually dead. And if we were to die physically in that state of spiritual death that we were in, the result would be that we would experience what's called the second death, where our soul then would be separated from the presence of God forever in a place called hell. We don't talk about hell much anymore, do we? It's not PC, but that's what the Bible tells us. And so the reason that Jesus had to die was because he was the only perfect sacrifice who could pay the death penalty for our sins that we could never pay. The consequence is death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Because that's what God has said. That's how serious sin is in the eyes of God. And Jesus was the only one who could pay our death penalty for us. We would die were it not for God sending Jesus to die in our place. He was our substitute, the Bible tells us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, to take our sin upon himself, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. And the point is that sin is serious. It was so serious. In fact, did you know all throughout the Old Testament that God was continually showing his people sin has massive consequences? Do you realize the Old Testament sacrificial system was a bloody mess? Did you know that they sacrificed animals twice a day? One in the morning and one in the evening? And I believe it was per family. There were, I estimate, 1 to 2 million people at the time. So as those families would bring an animal sacrifice for their family twice a day, priests would bring one for themselves as well. They had to offer sacrifices, and they would slaughter these animals on this altar. Could you imagine the scene? An absolute bloody mess. I read that there was one day in particular, or is maybe an estimated of 1.2 million animals sacrificed. Could you imagine having to sacrifice animals every day? Blood shed every day. What did the priests do with the blood? They'd take it in and they'd sling it everywhere. They'd pour it here, they'd pour it on the mercy seat. They'd splash it around as they were told to. Imagine that scene. Blood everywhere. You think God was trying to tell us something about sin? Wow. Sin is absolutely awful. And it's because God is so absolutely holy. He wants us to know sin is devastating. Look what it's done to the world. Look what it brings, death. Look what it causes. And I think we're aware of that, but I think we forget just how serious sin is. So Jesus was sacrificed, as we know, as the Lamb of God, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? He was the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. So that's one of the reasons that Jesus came to die, was to be that sacrifice for our sin, to pay our penalty, which is death for our sin. But also, he died to prove God's passionate love for us. We just sang about the deep, deep love of Jesus, right? And this is what God says in His Word. In John 3:16, you guys know this verse, but it's an important verse. It's really a central verse, I think, to all of Christendom. It's, "For God so loved the world, you and I, that He gave His only Son, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not experience death, will not perish, but instead will have eternal life." Amen? Don't you love that verse? This is the gospel. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die in our place so that we wouldn't have to die. And Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God demonstrates His love for us. He shows us just how much He loves us, in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us." What love is this? To die for someone? It was out of His great love that God was willing to sacrifice His one and only Son, Jesus, for us. Remember, God created us. This is why He loves us. We're created in His image. We are His special creation, right? He created the world and everything else in it, but mankind, now we are the pinnacle of His creation, special creation, because we're in His image. He gave us a soul, a living soul. We're eternal, unlike the rest of creation. But we sinned against Him. We made the choice to sin against Him, and we caused the division that exists between us and God. But God knew that, and He loves us so much that, you know, that grieves His heart to be separated from His creation in that way. It breaks His heart when His creation runs from Him, which is what we all do. We are the ones that have separated ourselves from God. You know, when I was 17 years old, the pinnacle of my wisdom in those days, I ran away from home. I was just so rebellious that I wanted nothing more in life just to be out from under my parents' rule. I know none of you could probably relate to that, but I used to lie to my parents all the time. I just broke the rules all the time. They meant nothing to me. I stole from them. I just did not want to live in this environment anymore because it was too controlling, right? I wanted my freedom. I wanted my life, my way, essentially. And so I ran away from home. I actually ran across state. I went from Indiana to Illinois, pretty far away. Told nobody. They didn't know where I went. And guess what? It grieved the heart of my parents. Why? Because they love me, right? I was their special creation. Emphasis on special, if you know what I mean. But they had a great love for me, even though I was rebellious, even though I was sinful, and I hurt them. I sinned against them. They still love me deeply. Well, what happened eventually is I got arrested for shoplifting in Illinois. Police found out that I was a runaway, contacted my parents, and right away jumped in a car, drove to Illinois to rescue me. And you know, when I saw them for the first time, they didn't come in angry, guns a-blazing. You know what they did? They came in with love and embraced me tighter than I've probably ever been hugged. Why? Because that's the love of a parent. You know what Isaiah tells us is that He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds, we are healed. Because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Doesn't that explain mankind? We all run away. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all want our own way. We don't want God's way. We want our way. But God knew that. from the very beginning. That's why he has this plan to send Jesus Christ to show his love for us. He's like, I know you're going to run. I know you're going to reject me, rebel against me, sin against me. But because of my love for you, I'm going to make a way to bring you home. While we were sinners, while we were in our rebellion against him, Jesus died for us. There is no greater love than that. That God would do the unthinkable, sacrifice his only son, sinless son, for a sinful, rebellious people to make a way for us to be brought back home. And that's the final point this morning. Why did Jesus die? It was to bring peace through reconciliation, to reconcile us to the God that we were separated from. Bring peace. A couple verses that talk about that. It's Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. This is a verse that emphasizes the deity of Jesus. And through him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross. That's how peace came. And Ephesians 2:13 tells us, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, separated from God, have been brought near by how? The blood of Jesus Christ. And what this tells us, folks, is that there's this massive chasm that exists between us and God. There's a separation. It's unbridgeable for us. Nothing in the world could ever bridge the gap that exists between a holy God and a sinful people. I like the bridge cross illustration. Have you seen this? That the chasm existed and here we are separated from God. If we were to die in our state of separation from God, we would spend eternity separated from God, without hope of ever being restored, reconciled to him once we die. But there's only one way, and it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross bridges the divide. You have to come through Jesus, right? Through the blood of his cross, he made peace. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It was the only way. Why did Jesus have to die? To bring an end to the conflict. To bring peace. You know, peace in the Bible means to cause a state of peace or reconciliation between two persons. To make peace or to make things right. God knew this, folks. He knew this about us. He knew that this would happen from the very beginning. But in his love, he said, sin has to be paid for. And so I'm going to send Jesus as a gift to die, to pay that penalty, that price for sin, death, so that I can be at peace again with my creation. What an amazing plan. But please don't miss this part. Though the price has been paid, though the path to peace with God has been provided, the work has been done. What was the last thing that Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. So it's been done. The way has been open. But every person must personally believe in Jesus Christ as the only way, truth, and life to receive forgiveness and eternal life with God. You've got to believe to receive. I've never won many things in my life. I can really only think of one time that I ever won something, and it was when I was about 22 years old, I think. I was working at a warehouse, and we used to listen to this radio station every day, the same radio station. They had a radio contest where they would play the very first note of a song, and only the very first note, And the first person to call in guessing the song would win a prize. Well, guess who won? That's right. Because you know why? Because I know Brian Adams. Everything I do it for you. Done. Anyway, one note. I'm on that phone. And I was so excited. Because I got online. I got on the air. And I was like a little shocked. I didn't think I'd get through. And I said, he's like, what's the song? I'm like, everything I do it for you. He's like, what? Yeah, that's it. So I won. And you know what I won? A Brian Adams CD. I know you're jealous. But here's the catch. All I had to do was just run by the station on the way home, pick up the CD. I never went and picked up the CD. This is before streaming, kids. You couldn't just pull up the song. All I had to do was receive it. It was paid for, it was free, it was offered to me, but I never got the prize. You know what the Bible says in John. He came to that which was his own, referring to the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. They didn't receive him. They rejected him, right? We understand that today. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You've got to receive him. You have to recognize who Jesus is, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The only way. Jesus died for me. I receive you. I believe in you, Jesus, as my Messiah, my Savior. But why does it seem so hard to receive things that are too good to be true, right? Or receive things just in general. I was reminded of that Thursday as I was leaving the office. This guy shows up. This madman. No, I don't know. His name's Israel, he said. He's homeless. He was living in his truck. He was parked in our lot. And he comes beeline over to me. And he's like, shouting out stuff. And I was like, uh-oh, what's going on? He just wanted me to pray for him, is what he said. And I could hardly understand half the things he was saying because he was just like, I don't know, going 90 miles an hour. But I did. I stopped and I knelt with him and we prayed. He said, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I don't need money. I don't want anything. I just need you to pray for me. So I prayed for him. But after we got done praying for him, he said, hey, I got something for you, Pastor. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out cash, like $16, and tries to hand it to me. And I was like, whoa, no, man, you need this. He's like, no. And I was like, no, really, give this to somebody else then, you know, because somebody else can use it, I'm sure, more than me. He's, no, God put this on me and give this to you. And, you know, and it just, and like, I don't know, five or six times I kept telling him, no, it's fine, no, really, really. He would not take no for an answer. What is it about just receiving something, you know, somebody's trying to offer you something, and you're like, no! And I went, well, for one thing, it was wet. It was sweaty money. But that's a whole nother story. But smelled, no. What is it about receiving a free gift of eternal life, right? No strings attached. Here you go. I don't know, the human nature, right? Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's just disbelief. But we just kind of, we reject it sometimes. And so I kind of can understand that. But yet, that's the one condition, is to believe. Believe that Jesus said, he will save me if I believe in him. It seems too good to be true. Yet that's what we see over and over again in the Gospels. Why did Jesus die? Because God's holy and we are not, right? He's perfect, sinless. He exists in inapproachable light, we're told. And he is holy. And if we ever expect to be with God forever in perfection, well, then we got a problem because we're not holy, right? We sin. And there are serious consequences to sin. It's what separates us. That's why Jesus had to die because we had a problem that we could not solve ourselves. And so God, in his love, stepped in and said, I'll take care of it. I love you so much that I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus did that, and he atoned for our sins. It says that he became the propitiation, the appeasement, the satisfaction for our sin against God. Isn't that amazing? And it's only through the blood of his cross that we can have peace with God. And so this is why we worship. This is every Sunday, this is why we're here. Because we have a God that loves us so much that he would willingly do what he did to bring us back to him. That should motivate us every single day of our life to live for him, right? Jesus died. It tells us in the scriptures that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. And that's the message of Passion Week, the love of God, the lengths he would go to save a people like us. Amen? And we are grateful today. Father, thank you for this morning and Palm Sunday. As we think, Father, of this time many years ago, you entered the city of Jerusalem to a people that misunderstood why you had come. And they welcomed you with singing and praises and palm branches and fanfare, only to turn on you and that same week be the same people that would yell out, crucify him. Because we just didn't understand. I think because we look to you, Jesus, to rescue us from our own personal problems all the time. Or we want you to provide things for us. But oftentimes we kind of reject your offer to save us, to cleanse us of our sin, the true need of our hearts. But Father, you did that and you willingly sacrificed Jesus. Jesus, you willingly went to the cross in obedience, despising the shame. You still bled and died for my sin. And so, Father, help us all as believers in Jesus this morning to take sin seriously, that when we think of the cross, we are reminded of the seriousness and the devastation that sin has caused. It caused Jesus to have to die. So it is serious. May we not take it lightly, Father, in our own lives, even today. May we not shrug it off or dismiss it. May we acknowledge it. And may we also, when we see the cross, be reminded of the depths of your amazing love, that you would love us so much that you'd be willing to do what you did. Thank you, Father, for loving us the way you do. Help us to be reminded of that this week especially. And may we present that message. May all of us here at Burleson Bible Church take it upon ourselves to invite someone to come to hear this message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. May we continue to worship and proclaim your name and your goodness, Father. And we pray all these things this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.